The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So preaching on the Jacob narrative in the middle of summer is like trying to eat a full roast beef dinner while you're driving down the freeway. It's kind of crazy, but it's such a good story, I can't help it. So previously in the life of Jacob, he's a trickster. He took his brother's birthright in exchange for a bowl of stew, and then he again got his father's blessing and birthright by tricking his father, making him think that he was his brother. He put some fake fur on his hands. And then he realized he was in trouble, went across the Haran and hooked up with Laban and his family, Rebekah's family, and finds Laban and meets his match in Laban, who we heard last week tricked Jacob into marrying his eldest daughter, Leah, first, and then he had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. So he gets a bit of his own medicine. But after, actually it says after Joseph was born, Jacob decided it was time to go home, and he pulls his final shenanigan with his father-in-law and says, "Look, I'll make you a deal. You owe me for all my years of work. So I'm gonna take all the spotted sheep and goats, and you get all the plain colored ones." And then he bred them so that they were all spotted and took them and left town. This is a man who is concerned about getting his own. He's concerned about what's owed to him. He's concerned about, well, what can he get? Any of you ever have family disputes over who gets mom's turkey platter, the one she uses at Christmas, or whatever it may be, name the item? Mm-hmm, yeah. So, but Jacob is all about getting his own. But he has to kind of leave because he's done his father-in-law bad for the last time. So he picks up his 2 wives, 2 handmaidens, 12 children, and sets off to go home. But we already know he's done his brother wrong. So he sends a bribe ahead to his brother. "Oh, dear brother, great lord of the land," we skipped all this today, but it's in there. I really recommend you go read about 5 chapters of Genesis. "You know, I have goats and I have cattle and I have sheep and I have wives and I have children," and kind of sends it ahead as a bribe. And Esau says, "That's great. I'm going to come out and meet you with, you know, a few thousand men." And Jacob thinks, this isn't so good. So he splits his family in 2, right? Break them up. Can't kill them all at once, right? So maybe one has a chance of survival. Sends them across the river. And then is alone. Now, if you have 4 wives and 12 children and you kind of live on a family compound, how many nights do you think you probably spent by yourself? So here he is alone before he has to confront his brother and own his bad deeds. And what happens that night is one of, I think, the most profound stories in the Bible. In spite of his being a jerk, that's my polite word, in spite of his being selfish, to put it mildly, in spite of his worried about his getting enough and not really caring about anyone else, God comes down and meets Jacob in his aloneness. God comes down and doesn't just meet Jacob, but wrestles with Jacob, gets down and dirty. And it's not like oh, you touch me, I touch you. No, they were locked in a battle. And I find this story profound because it reminds me, and hopefully each of us, that God is there in our wrestling. You know, if we're wrestling about not just whether we agree with the creed or not, but whether we even believe in God or not, God is there to wrestle with us in that. If we're wrestling about why there is such injustice in the world right now, have you picked up a newspaper the past few weeks? And we feel like there is nothing that we can do about it? And what am I supposed to do as a Christian? God is there to wrestle with us in those moments. And when we get mad and upset because life hasn't been fair, because our sibling got that turkey platter, because so-and-so got cancer, because I'm suffering, and when we get into those places of anger or grief and we wrestle with our faith, God is there wrestling with us. Because if God is willing to wrestle with a low-down dog like Jacob and then bless him and give him a new name, God is willing to wrestle with every single one of us with our turmoil in our own lives. But let me throw a warning in here. If you wrestle with God, you're going to come out changed. Jacob, he not only gets a new name, he gets his hip displaced and he walks the rest of his life with a limp. If we really open ourselves up to God, not just like, oh God, I'm here and it's really hard, but if we really open ourselves up to wrestling in that conversation or in that anger or in that injustice, we're going to be changed. You will be changed. We will act differently or talk differently or spend our money differently or engage with those nasty family members who cheated us differently. That's what the power of God does when we wrestle. So what are you wrestling with right now? And are you willing to let God into your life in that wrestling match? And are you willing to be changed? Amen.